continuing with Libya now, we're going to examine the premise that political stability or normalcy in Libya will probably need to be accompanied by economic prosperity, or at least economic stability in that country. Joining us is Elizabeth Martins, a senior economist at HSBC Bank based in the Middle East. She joins us from Dubai. Good morning, Elizabeth.
Good morning.
And also with us all hour long, Michael Waheed Hanna, a fellow at the Century Foundation. Michael, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
So let's begin. When Libyan oil output was disrupted back in February, what was the impact on the market? And contrast that with the volatility we've seen just this week. Elizabeth?
Sure, yeah. Well, I mean, back in February and March, when the oil price went up quite sharply amid the unrest, which was not just in Libya, but across the Middle East, we estimated that about $10 to $15 of the oil price related to that unrest and the lost Libyan supply. Now, over the last 6 months, we've seen other producers in the Middle East actually compensate fully for the lost volume in Libya, which was about 1.5 million barrels a day. It's not all of the same high, light, sweet quality of Libyan oil, but in terms of volume, that has actually been made up for by Saudi Arabia, UAE, Kuwait, all of which have been increasing their own oil production. So what you have now is you have the same volume of oil on the market and a potential for a strong supply shock if Libyan oil output can come back onto the market. Now, it's not at all clear that that's going to happen in the short term. First of all, we don't know how much damage has been done to Libyan oil infrastructure. But secondly, we don't know that the country is yet stable enough to resume that production. So I think, yes, there is a possibility that in a climate where oil prices are already perhaps vulnerable to negative global market sentiment and fears over a second global economic slowdown, you could get then a big supply, a positive supply shock from Libya, which could add to downside pressure on oil prices. But I think there's still quite a few unknowns at this stage.
Right. That's Elizabeth Martins, senior economist at HSBC Bank based in the Middle East. She's speaking to us from Dubai. So, Michael Waheed Hanna, what Elizabeth is saying reminds me a little bit of some of the rosy scenarios that were bandied about during the invasion of Iraq, that the Iraqi oil infrastructure would come back online, worries about the supply would go away, the price of oil would decline, and in fact, the growth of Iraq politically would be paid for by those oil revenues. On paper, it looks like Libya is that same sort of scenario. Didn't work out that way in Iraq. What do you think economically are the challenges ahead for Libya?
Well, Libya is in a somewhat different situation. It's a smaller country. The oil infrastructure is in better shape. I mean, Iraq had been under sanctions for quite a number of years, and that had eroded their capacity to produce oil. And so Libya is in better shape. Obviously, the biggest question now will be the stability of the state. And the ability for whatever transitional government now fills the vacuum to be able to get the oil infrastructure back in motion and producing oil again. But you know, it's a very different situation, and Libya is in a better place than Iraq was immediately after the war in 2003.
That's Michael Waheed Hanna from the Century Foundation. But Michael, what about greater economic issues? What about the economic structure in Libya in terms of just the basic wealth-generating engine there that would allow the people to then become self-sufficient?
Well, Libya has lacked institutions. That is a hallmark of Gaddafi rule. And that is going to be a challenge. And I think we see this challenge in Egypt. We see it in Tunisia. We have this you know, democratic transitions in those two countries now underway. Hopefully, Libya's begins soon. And there is a fear that that there will be disenchantment with the democratic process, that it's not going to immediately translate into economic gain. That being said, having been to the region quite a number of times in recent months, I do think there's a sense of realism about what is possible. And I think there's a sense that, yes, there will be political change first, and that will be the most immediate and obvious effect, but that economic change is something that is going to take some time. But there is a fear, obviously, that people will become disenchanted, disillusioned with what democracy has brought.
Well, what's the verdict of the market here? Michael Waheed Hanna is a fellow at the Century Foundation. Elizabeth Martins from HSBC Bank. How would you advise clients. I mean, certainly Gaddafi was able to attract all kinds of investors under 42 years of dictatorship. Do you think the rebellion is a good investment for people who want to invest in Libya right now?
I think there are still huge question marks over political stability. And I think, you know, even in countries with more developed institutions like Egypt, we're seeing what a challenging time it is. So there is a huge amount of uncertainty. Longer term, I think Libya has the potential for tremendous growth. I think, you know, that it has relatively high oil production per capita. If those funds coming in are channeled productively into infrastructure, into developing, you know, alternative economic bases, because it's been very, very dependent on its oil industry. You know, most of its, probably 90-95% of its exports have been oil. If it can channel those revenues into developing alternative economic bases, building up, for example, the tourism industry, financial services, infrastructure, really supporting domestic demand and really lifting, I think, GDP per capita and people's living standards, I think there are huge opportunities. You know, Libya, the sanctions were lifted and it has come some way over the last few years, but I think there is, it's still a relatively underdeveloped economy, and I think there's lots of growth potential for investors longer term, but I think people will want to see that this transition goes smoothly and that there is stability to invest in.
In less than a minute, Elizabeth Martins, do you think the connections during colonial times between Italy and Libya and France and Libya are an asset here?
I think, you know, it's going to have good links with Europe. It's geographically close. I think there are historical links. Yeah, I think that will be a good relationship. It is certainly for Libya's neighbors. The other North African states have very strong trade and tourism links with the countries the other side of the Mediterranean.
Elizabeth Martins is a senior economist at HSBC Bank based in the Middle East. She joined us from Dubai. Elizabeth, thanks so much.
Thank you.
As we work through the sort of head scratcher of what's next in Libya, Michael Waheed Hanna, a fellow at the Century Foundation, is with us all hour long. Michael, thanks so much.
Thanks.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.